This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is the Thursday morning edition. VSiN by the Books, Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. He is our closer back home in Cleveland, Ohio. Jensen, I got out of the car this morning, and the wind was howling. And that's here on the Tennessee-Kentucky border. I don't know what it's like for you in Cleveland this morning, but I think we're going to get a lot of wind today across the United States if you're picking up what I'm putting down.
I am, sir. Great morning to you. Welcome to it. It is U.S. Open Thursday. We are underway, and we already have people over par, which is what we expected. Three gentlemen even, three gentlemen plus one through one hole. We are looking right now, Dave. It's still saying right in that 20 to 30 mile an hour gusting. Still a bit on the cooler side as far as temperatures go there at Shinnecock Hills. But yeah, we're getting some wind. We got some rain here in Northeast Ohio. Cannot wait for the chaos later this afternoon there in the Hamptons and see what these boys can do.
In a word, carnage. I think that's what we are expecting today in day one. Buckle up, boys. Greg Peterson is going to join the program today. We'll get his Major League Baseball slate here on a Thursday. The maestro himself, Mike Palm, and we'll see about liabilities, what they have. Is it the big boys? Is it just Scotty, Rory, or deeper down the board here at this United States Open? And, of course, World Cup talk with Brad Thomas as well coming up later on this hour. So we got you covered pillar to post. But as you mentioned, they're already underway this morning as you're waking up here across this great country of ours. Let's get into it. It's our national championship. That's where we begin our highlights and headlines.
Help your bottom line with today's highlights and headlines.
The sea was angry that day, my friends. We all remember that from Seinfeld. And, you know, Titleist? I just wonder how many balls. I don't think we're talking about the rough, or I don't think we're talking about the water, which is present here at Shinnecock Hills. We're all talking about the wind, Jensen. It just feels like today, as play has got underway, that is the central theme. Not Scotty going for the career Grand Slam. We might get there as the weekend goes. But day number one, already off the first tees here. We're already seeing over par scores. I think it's just to buckle up, tighten up, and hope you survive day one, Jensen.
Yeah, it is. And anxious to see kind of what we've alluded to here on this program for the last couple of days, the morning wave versus the afternoon wave, and how big of a difference will that be? Great to catch up with our friend, your friend, Carl Paulson yesterday. He right on the grounds there saying this is going to be a course that absolutely eats some people up. So let's see what happens here in the morning wave again. First two groups are off here. A lot of guys to get through today. We'll obviously keep our eye. I know you will have a watchful eye on our network here today. Cameron Smith, one of your big bombs to win. He goes off around 7:19. Tommy Fleetwood, a guy that I will be backing in earnest in multiple different ways, goes off at 7:52. Scottie Scheffler in that all-important morning wave, 8:14 tee time. Not often, Dave, do we get a couple of the big boys in that same kind of opening threshold there, but that's what we'll have today. So very excited to see how it transpires morning to afternoon.
And very quickly, if you haven't bet this and you're looking to get in right now and you're hearing Jensen and I talk about this, whether it's on FanDuel Sports Network, SiriusXM channel 158, you should take note that in the afternoon wave, if you're playing golf props, I've played most of those overs. I don't think I have one under in my account here today. And if they beat me, I'm going to tip my cap. And again, Mother Nature can be fickle. We understand that. If you're looking to an under, even in the morning wave, tread carefully. Look, this golf course is hard enough without the wind. That's why we note in the four major championships played there, all U.S. Opens, three players in the history of the tournament have finished under par. Three. That's it. So that's the history of this place without the big wins today. Just note that if you're trying to get in on unders, that's not where I'm looking today, that's for sure. If you're looking for drama in the World Cup, you found it. How about England? A thriller against Croatia. They do get that W 4-2, but Portugal has to settle for a draw, and draws do seem to be a theme so far against Congo DR. And Jensen, what about England? Yeah, they win by two goals, but it felt a little bit tougher than that final score might indicate.
This was a shootout in every sense. They've 2-2 there at halftime. Harry Kane, he got a penalty, had to redo it because of an offside. Never seen that on a penalty kick, but it did happen. But they get the win. That's a big one, too, in their group. Ghana, we were all over this thing yesterday. The under in the first half hits in a scoreless first half. We almost got the draw, plus 220, but Ghana scores in the 95th minute of stoppage time. And Dave, I am sick and tired of minute goals that push the over 3.5. Colombia, for whatever reason, Uzbekistan asleep at the wheel to try and finish this one out. It was looking so great. 2-1, we would have hit the Colombia money line and under 3.5 parlay. No. Colombia has to score in the 99th minute, the final minute of stoppage time. I am sick and tired of it, Dave. We're done with it. The handicaps have been great. We've fallen on some hard times the last couple of days, but we re-racked today. I've got some plays for you in the early matches upcoming later in the program.
Okay, we're going to have the Maestro on, as I mentioned, in hour number two. And can I chalk that up to some of these late goals and these overplays that we're seeing in the World Cup, as I heard him allude yesterday, I believe, with Stormy and JVT. Two words, hydration breaks. That because they're getting so many of these that maybe we don't have the data to prove it yet, but these teams are coming back from these hydration breaks and they're scoring goals like wildfire. Nobody's tired anymore, Jensen. We got the long half times. We get the hydration breaks. Everybody's fresh legs, and that's leading to more scoring. Can we deduce that early here in this World Cup?
Well, I think first and foremost, again, you get your money with FIFA. That's where they want it. The hydration break / we need more commercials. Very WNBA of them to go to quarters instead of the halves there. So, we joke, but no, it's been interesting to see the stoppage time goals that have pushed. I mean, France ends up killing us yesterday too. A couple of days ago, I should say. With the late goals there in stoppage time. So that's been an undoing for us. We've had the right handicaps, just hasn't gotten across the line. But today, Dave, kind of round two, if you will, of group play and a couple of very important spots, almost mini elimination matches because of where not only the wins are, but the goal differentials, things of that nature. So we'll break that down coming up in the Daily Docket.
Dodgers get a win despite Shohei Ohtani. Terrible start. 6 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, 1 walk, 5 Ks. I kid. 91 pitches. ERA is all the way up to 1.47. Jensen, if that's a rocky outing for Shohei, I think a lot of teams would take that quote-unquote quality start through six.
Certainly. We got to monitor this blister situation, though. And again, that will impact kind of where we are, not only from a Cy Young standpoint, but also some props if you're looking to take through where he's at. He did enter the game as a pinch hitter late in this one. Dodgers didn't rally to win 5-4. Rays get swept. They go 1-5 in California, Dave, in this West Coast swing. So the Yankees have been the beneficiary of the Rays getting it handed to them on the West Coast. They get off today. They'll be back in action tomorrow. But we'll kind of follow this injury issue with Shohei Ohtani to see if it does end up becoming an issue, not only the blister, but the knee inflammation as well.
We're getting down to the nitty-gritty in Omaha. We are down to two, Carolina and Oklahoma moving on. Georgia, bye-bye. West Virginia, bye-bye. Jensen, I don't think you're surprised by North Carolina. What about OU getting by the Bulldogs?
Yeah, these are the two that I gave out before the College World Series started. If you wanted one side of the bracket, it would have been North Carolina or West Virginia, and the other side told you the value would be with the Sooners. They make it stand up. 11-4, they take out Georgia, and North Carolina had to hold off a late surge from the Mountaineers, but they get it done 12-7. I tell you, we are in store for a heck of a College World Series final. How this will work, Dave, today an off day, Friday an off day, and then game one of the College World Series final, 8:00 Eastern time on Saturday night from Omaha. I believe North Carolina will be the home team as they are the higher national seed. So they will, by virtue of that, get the quote unquote home field, or at least be the home team there. So boy, Scott Forbes' crew looks great. Skip Johnson's group there, the Sooners, they have really caught fire at the right time. We got a great weekend of baseball ahead of us.
We've been talking a lot about this Brendan Sorsby story, not just all the, the legal turns that we all saw at Texas Tech and the court injunctions and all that. But once it became official that he was leaving Texas Tech, whether it's by push or by his own admission, to go to the supplemental draft here in the NFL. We were talking about this earlier this week, and like, what's the bidding going to be for Brendan Sorsby? Well, the report is every single team will be attending his pro day, which is coming up next month in advance of that draft. So at least on the surface, Jensen, it says to us, everybody at least is going to dip a toe and take a look at the talent that they all see is there. I was hearing a lot of people very much in the know in these spaces on NFL Network and beyond, saying GMs are theorizing maybe as high as a second round pick could go here. We think it should be an auction in that paddles type situation here, Jensen. But what do we make of this? That nobody's going to turn a blind eye to this kid and say, you know what, those past issues, we are not going to have him on our football team. It sounds like everybody might let bygones be bygones in the NFL.
Yeah, and again, this is kind of a pseudo draft or you know, combine, if you will.
Yes.
It's going to try and get the due diligence done. I would have to anticipate that there'll be some interviews here with teams that are very, very serious. Just, hey, we have seen kids do far worse that have gotten drafted in the actual NFL draft. So, hey, it's the most important position for a franchise. Of course, you're going to look at a guy who is going to be one of the top quarterbacks entering this season, no question about it.
It's kind of crazy to think, Jensen, we might see him play an NFL game this year and not at Texas Tech. I mean, it's just kind of bizarre how this whole situation is just flipped completely around. You could actually see him play somewhere in the NFL at some point this season. Let's get back to it. Do we have a birdie on the board yet? We're going to check a live update, which is really fun for us, and see if any of those changing numbers here. United States Open Talk. It's next right here. Beeson by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Football season is right around the corner, and the best bettors are already prepared for it. You can be too, because next week on Monday, we're going to release our NFL betting guide. It's packed with everything you need to attack the futures market, win totals, divisional races, the upcoming NFL season. You can lock in that early bird pricing in our football special for just $175. You're going to be among the first to get the guide when it comes out on Monday. So the sooner you sign up now, the more value you will get. Full access to everything we do across every major sport throughout the entirety of the Super Bowl, which is in February of next year. That includes daily best bets, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and so much more. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, this is the part. You'll get there someday, but you're not there yet. And that is, Father Time is undefeated. And sometimes here in the studio, here in our Kentucky studio, I can't figure out how to get the USA Network on my TV. So because I it's operator error and I can't figure this out, I'm going to have to look through your eyes, my friend, as the United States Open is underway for the next 3 hours. It's beautiful for us, in all seriousness, to have live action here because we don't get that benefit very often. So it will be fun for us throughout the day. One thing I did want to ask, if you're looking at the golf course, because I can't see it right now with eyes on it, we have not seen a birdie, I don't believe, yet on the golf course. And I do think if you're looking at those golf props, we'll get into some of our plays that we have in pocket for the afternoon wave, which is supposed to be treacherous today. Jensen, if the early wave is struggling to make pars and or, dare I say, a birdie out there, what in the world can the afternoon wave look forward to if the early groups are struggling? And so far, just by looking at the numbers, they don't look good for the groups out there right now.
Dave, I'm going to tell you right now, we have a first. 12 golfers on the course. We are suspended in round one of the U.S. Open right now. We have 12 golfers on the course. We have no one under par. We have six golfers that are even, but we are currently suspended after just a handful of groups getting underway here in the United States Open. So everyone who's waking up right now and like, oh, I didn't get my bets in, you got time. We are in a holding pattern here in Shinnecock Hills as we currently sit here right now.
Okay, well, that is rather significant, and it is truly breaking news because I was listening to those guys talk yesterday from the USGA and the like, and they did not want this occurrence to happen because what happens now is these rounds, as we talked with Carl Paulson yesterday, who's there on the grounds, it's going to be six-hour rounds anyway. So now if we're backing this up, we don't know how – this is supposed to be the calm time right now. Jensen, I really, again, if we're just looking ahead now to the rest of the day, I think there's a really good chance they won't get the first round completed today. And if they can't get the first round completed today, what do you got, my friend?
So the only reason they have it suspended, this is from the official U.S. Open social media, suspended at 7:05 a.m. Eastern due to fog. They are having players hold in place for 15 minutes. What they also said, and this is courtesy of Brian Gaffera, who is the VP of content betting on SI and Minute Media. He says they blew the horn at 7:05 a.m. on hole 11 because of a possible storm. Plus, you can't see anything, according to an official out there. So we are officially on pause, holding in place because the fog has gotten so bad. They're going to give them 15 minutes to see if the fog clears. We shall see. But two holes in, we already have a stoppage here in the U.S. Open.
Nobody talked about the fog, Jensen. That was not on the bingo card. So again, you know, we can't, but again, officially from the U.S. Open golf, as they tweet out, yes, round one has been suspended here, 7:05. As you mentioned, going to hold in place here for 15 minutes. This is significant, though, because the longer this delay goes with the wind that they're expecting, the gust that could be up to, what, north of 40 miles an hour in the afternoon, this golf course, look, nobody's complaining about the golf course. And I want to make this point, too. The players love this golf course. It has nothing to do with the course setup. Remember, we had those issues at Aronimink where some of the players like Scottie Scheffler, they were complaining a little bit about, or at least questioning, the course design, the setup, that they were making it unduly difficult for the players when the golf course and the elements were going to take care of that in and of itself. Nobody's complaining about the golf course. The elements that Mother Nature is bringing is what is the problem here today. So we got fog now in the morning, and we're going to have those winds coming up in the afternoon. So, again, we'll give out some of the plays that we added, and I think you and I are symbiotic in a couple of these here. I did have some first-round leader plays. Now, none of those guys are on the course yet. And I guess that's a good thing if you can't see in the fog. So while I was really hoping we get these guys out there super early, man, if you can't see, that's not exactly advantageous either. So the first round leader bets are very small. These are pizza money bets that I played four units here, or basically, excuse me, a tenth of a unit four times over. So I've left some space on the card to fill in whether or not we like some live bets or what have you as the afternoon goes. But those four first round leader plays are some real long shots, both cams that we're taking here. And this is a court like Texas Tech, a court injunction. I got one at the strike of midnight to play Ludvig Åberg just for a first round leader bet at 33-1. Now, I don't know if that violated any rules in the clause where I said I could not bet Ludvig this week, not in outrights, but we did bet him 33-1 for first round leader, and Patrick Reed at 45-1. Now remember, these are all first round leaders, and these are all early wave guys that are going out here, hopefully in the next couple hours, Jensen. Small first round leader bets that I put. Did you place a couple first round leader bets as well?
I certainly did. And again, kind of following you as the wingman on your left side, a little low, as we would say from the original Top Gun. I think that it was really a conversation you and I had yesterday after the show of it feels way more like if you're doing anything. And now with the fog sort of delaying the beginning of this first round and the first handful of groups, I did get to Patrick Reed about 50-1, I believe, for a first round leader wager. I also took a shot on Tommy Fleetwood And I used a boost on DraftKings for him, got him up to 34-1. Again, course history, familiarity, form, all those things. But the great part is those guys are together at 7:52 a.m. and at least going off at the same time. So we will know in real time where they stand individually. So I'm excited to see how they handle moving forward with this delay and how long this delay will be, knowing that the weather conditions and the wind specifically is going to be something to deal with here. We're right when we get around to noon, maybe even 1 or 2 o'clock Eastern time.
I love that Tommy Fleetwood boost, by the way. Again, as we mentioned here, back in 2018 when Brooks Koepka won, I think what people have forgotten is Tommy Fleetwood on that Sunday shot a 63 on this golf course. And put that in reference. I saw some props out there for the low round of the week, Jensen. It was lined at 65.5, minus -110 either way, and I didn't bet it. I could not get a read, and I go, well, wait, Tommy Fleetwood 8 years ago shot a 63. It feels like such an outlier round. And, oh, by the way, had a putt inside of 10 feet back then that would have shot a 62 and would have put him in a playoff with Brooks Koepka. Now, he missed that on 18, but still came in with a 63. I love Fleets this week. There's not many guys out here that have course knowledge. Scottie Scheffler didn't play. Think about that, how much golf has changed. He didn't even play in this tournament. He wasn't even a thought yet in the golf world in 2018 when Brooks Koepka's winning. We're still talking about Brooksy to this day. And Tommy Fleetwood shooting the 63. So those are the first round leader bets. It's just going to be Cameron Young, Ludvig Åberg, Patrick Reed, and Cam Smith. So you and I are aligned on Patrick Reed. And you've got a nice ticket, I think, on Tommy Fleetwood with that boost. If you can get that, people, before he tees off, to Jensen's point, I think it's a really smart play because I think he's going to be very confident coming into this tournament here where confidence is going to be a big thing. Some guys might be nervy. Some guys might be a little bit timid out there. Other guys might say, ooh, it's going to be tough for everybody. This is where I shine. Those are the type of players you want, that they like the tougher elements. And ironically, I think Tommy Fleetwood actually fits that mold these days, that's for sure. Outright markets here that we gave out yesterday, Jensen. Again, some of the same numbers there. I only played two outrights. I did play Patrick Reed at 50-1. I did take the long shot on Cam Smith at 110-1. And I kept some spots open after this first round today. What were some of the other outrights that you had as well, my friend? And there, if you're watching here on FanDuel Sports Network, some head-to-head matchups as well.
Yeah, for me, no real outrights outside of the ones I tailed you on. I did get Patrick Reed at 50-1, and I did take some of Cam Smith, as you kind of recommended there, at 110-1. A placement round, or at least placement markets for me, is exactly where I went. So a full unit, four leg, make the cut parlay is one of my favorites here, Dave. Tommy Fleetwood, Colin Morikawa, Justin Rose, and Shane Lowry. Top 10 finish, including ties on DraftKings. Tommy Fleetwood plus $1.86, Colin Morikawa plus $3.40, and then a top 20 finish, Justin Rose plus $2.15, and Shane Lowry plus $2.55.
Hey, you know, I was watching our friends over at the Golf Channel. We've had a lot of those guys on, and it was kind of cool to hear them say that Justin Rose, at this stage of his career, is just a tough-minded guy that lives for these moments. I was like, wow, it's so cool to see the old man still getting the respect in the marketplace as he deserves. Let's talk some World Cup. That's coming up next right here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We will get back to the foggy conditions at the United States Open. As you, Jensen, you said that they have to hold in place, right? So they can't move. It's like they're just standing there waiting for the fog to lift. We have, the moratorium has not been lifted yet, correct, sir?
Dave, breaking news. We are back underway at the United States Open. We have no one, I repeat, no one under par. We have eight guys at even, five at plus one. Hamilton Coleman, the amateur, is our bottom of the barrel right now at plus two through two. So teeth of Shinnecock already showing itself. So that is, but more importantly, we are back underway there at the United States Open.
Very quickly, I mentioned some of those other markets I was perusing yesterday. There was one, Jensen, and I just would have felt cruel to bet it. It was the highest score for any round 89.5. Would somebody shoot a 90 in this golf course? And the over, Jensen, you're not gonna believe this. The over was minus $1.90. Like one, one of those amateurs might. It could. Are we gonna see? I hope nobody shoot 100, please. I do not want to see anybody at the United States Open shoot 100. I shoot 100. You don't shoot 100 out there, okay? Let's hope we keep it professional here, kids. Very professional right now with the World Cup, and it's getting down. As you mentioned here off the top of the show, I thought it was an interesting conversation of maybe some de facto eliminators that we're going to have coming up here. The odds market has changed here after we've seen a week or so. Not terribly. France has been shortened a little bit to 4-1. Spain will struggle. They're plus 550. England, in a shootout yesterday, but they do get the win 6-1. Argentina was 10-1 down to 8-1. Those slight shifts, Jensen, I don't think they're surprising to you because they were kind of, we thought they should win their first round matches. But is there anything that has caught your eye on this movement in the odds board?
Nothing from the future side because everyone's just played one match. But you do mention the de facto elimination matches upcoming here in the second round of group play. We will basically get one today in the first match of the day between Czechia and South Africa, both of them falling in their respective matches to Mexico and South Korea. So by virtue of Czechia and South Africa having 0 points, a loss by either of these teams in all likelihood eliminates them from qualifying for the knockout round. Same can be said in Group D. We will see tomorrow the United States back underway against Australia. The winner of that match in all likelihood wins Group D. A draw is a really good result as well to get both the Aussies and the red, white, and blue a step closer to the knockout round. Turkey IE and Paraguay are going to play de facto eliminator, a loss by either of them because of their goal differential, too. Remember, I told you that's going to be the big thing in the handicap, Dave, not only of the second round matches of group play, but also that final match. It will drastically affect where teams will need to either be pushing numbers four because they've got not only win, but they may have to score by margin to be able to be one of those third place qualifiers. The other ones that are intriguing to me, Dave, Group B is going to be in action today with Switzerland and Bosnia, as well as Canada and Qatar. I'll get into some plays later in that, but the reason why I bring that up, every one of those teams had a draw in their first matchup. So everyone has a point. So again, not to say that we kind of recycle and restart the group, but now the onus could be you get a win in this match today, man, you pretty much can put yourself in a draw and move on scenario for a third group match to find yourself into the knockout round. So we'll have some plays in both of those contests as we move forward. In all likelihood, we'll have some. It's just fun. Dave, this is one of those times, and we do it a lot with March Madness, right? Not only the brackets, but also, you know, just having a little skin in the game on each of these games. It's fun. We're not getting outlandish here, and we're not putting life-changing money on these matches because it is some ridiculousness, as I alluded to earlier in the show. But yeah, we do now change the handicap depending on what teams have done in their first match and respectively what they would need. Now you start game planning out. What would this team need to qualify for the knockout round? What does their goal differential look like, et cetera? So those are things that we will factor in not only the rest of this week into the weekend, but also next week as well.
Team USA, of course, will be back on the pitch tomorrow against Australia. $1.70 here for the red, white, and blue. You like to come back here on the Aussies. You can get over $4 here, and a draw in that match right now sitting at plus 340. Draws seem to be very in vogue so far here in the early stages of the World Cup. The story that won't go away, but at least it's gone away from the college side, is Brendan Sorsby. And you and I were kidding about this the other day, that we think for the supplemental draft, it should just be a live auction. And, you know, I love the idea that you had of paddles. You have to have paddles in order to put up your bid for the player. And the player in question is Brendan Sorsby. Now, he has made himself eligible for the supplemental draft. For those, if you want to get into the particulars a little bit in the weeds here, there is no official date set for said supplemental draft. Now, it is a bargain by the CBA to make sure that the player is eligible, and it looks like that'll be the case here for Sorsby. So it will and must take place before or on July 16th. So, Jensen, we got about a month, if that calendar stays accurate here, for a new NFL team for Brendan Sorsby. Now, Pete Thamel over there on ESPN was on Pat McAfee yesterday. And, you know, the kids love to talk about the vibes. Let's talk about the vibe that we have right now with Sorsby and the NFL.
The vibe around the league that I've gotten is that someone's likely going to use a two on him. And I would say this, as we sit here in mid-June in this supplemental draft, again, he's applied. He hasn't been accepted yet. They haven't set the date on it, but it's probably going to be about a month from today, maybe 5 weeks from today. And one thing in my history of just doing this for a long time and in covering the draft is when there's a quarterback and people are like, oh, he's a second round pick in September, you know where he usually ends up going? He usually ends up going in the first round. So just don't be surprised if this position gets overvalued if the background stuff clears, because the talent is clearly the talent.
Yeah, and I mentioned this for me as a Cowboy backer. It does go back to Steve Walsh, who the Cowboys had to give up a first-round pick back in the day after they drafted Troy Aikman, number one overall. So there is a history that Pete's alluding to where these type of players, to be eligible for this type of auction, if you will, they do go higher than expected. I think you and I were theorizing third round, maybe second round. But if that's the case, and we're theorizing that, it just takes one, Jensen, for somebody else to go, ooh, those guys are going to grab him in the second or the third or bid on him there. I better get him in the first because he won't be around past that.
Yeah, and that's the underlying part. Just to simplify it, you bid instead of the paddles. But if you did use the paddle, you would say, or you would put a sticker on it, you're offering a second round selection. And just kind of looking ahead, you know, David, where we are for already the NFL draft in 2027. Again, we'll wait for the games to be played. You know, you're looking at teams like the Dolphins and the Cardinals, the Cleveland Browns, teams that would be quarterback heavy right now. And instead of, you know, surrendering a first round pick, and what we are told, Dave, is a generational quarterback class that is supposed to be upon us in April of 2027. You know, do you go look at a second round selection? You know, remember the Browns, by virtue of the Myles Garrett trade, will already have two first round selections in the 2027 draft. Let's assume the Rams win the Super Bowl. They would then forfeit that number 32 selection. The Browns, the way they are, I would anticipate being a top five draft pick again. So instead of having to spend one of your first rounders on a quarterback, maybe you get Brendan Sorsby and that's your guy. And now you can go a little different route here, depending on if you're the highest bidder. But I'm anxious to see how high some of these teams go and what they're willing to forego there as far as high draft picks in next year's draft.
You know, it's fascinating. And you can talk to a lot of executives around the league. We've been fortunate enough to have them on our show, both as hosts and certainly as guests throughout the years here. And normally for quarterbacks, Jensen, it takes the due diligence. You know, I think what upsets the apple cart here for the executives is normally they'd have a year to look at more tape on a kid like Brandon Sorsby, and now they got a month, right? So you got to go to this workout. As we mentioned, everybody looks like they're going to be there for this pro day, if you will, that he's going to host. And then they got to make a command decision on a potentially franchise-changing selection, whether you're going to give up a first-round pick or a second-round pick for this kid. Like, that's a lot of evaluation that you got to crunch into a very short time. I wonder, Jensen, how much tape are they going to be able to look back on, whether it's Cincinnati or the like, and or with the allegations, and we know they're not just allegations at this point, right? It's been proven that you factor all that in, and then, or do you just look at the pro day now and go, all right, this is who he is now. College is clearly behind him, and now I have to evaluate from a pro perspective, and really I might have this workout to go on. That seems like a lot of variables here for a potential first-round pick.
Yep, that's why I wouldn't spend it, and we'll see who's willing to dance with the devil here and what they feel that price and that acquisition cost might look like. So fascinating next 4 to 5 weeks. We'll be all over it and see where Brendan Sorsby ultimately ends up as a pro.
Yeah, you and I, if we were in those rooms, we'd say, do we really want to put this much capital on this kid? I mean, it's a lot that you're potentially putting up there for the future of your football team. All right, what about the future of today's baseball docket? Greg Peterson's going to be on with us next. Give us his best bets on the diamond. That's next right here at BC Money Books.
You're
tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
We are back, VSiN by the Books, on this Thursday morning edition. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis here with you. We're talking all about the wind and the fog right now at the United States Open. Well, you don't get the fog in Major League Baseball. That's a good thing. You do get the wind, and sometimes you got to check whether that wind is blowing in or blowing out. That's for sure. Greg Peterson is the host of not only the VSiN Coast to Coast Hoops podcast, but also the Baseball Betting Show right here in the network. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. Joins us now in the Progressive Guest Line. Greg, have you ever had we got a fog advisory at the U.S. Open. We've never had one of those in baseball, have we?
I'm sure there's been a fog advisory in the past because baseball has been around since the 1800s. So I'm sure there has been. I can't recall the last time there has been, though, because back when they played in Oakland, I always feel like Oakland is a city that had quite a bit of fog. But, yeah, you don't see those very often. So I can't say that I've seen it before, but I'm sure that it has happened because baseball is just that old.
We do have fog usually in Fenway, and as someone who has been there in the cold, crisp October air, sometimes that can play a little havoc with you. But the only thing playing havoc with Boston is how bad they are, and the Blue Jays taking it to them last night again. An under hits last night. Do we get the same thing in a getaway day affair this afternoon in the dirty water up there at Fenway Park?
That was quite the dig to Boston. I appreciate that, Jensen, and I am backing on the Blue Jays. Trey Savage, he's been giving up a few walks. He's been giving up over 4 walks per 9 innings, but the strikeout stuff is back there just like it was last year, over 9 strikeouts per 9 innings, and you mentioned it with this Red Sox team. 3.6 runs per game at Fenway this year. Fenway is supposed to be one of the more hitter-friendly ballparks in all of baseball. Has not been that for the Boston Red Sox thus far this season. And for the Blue Jays, I actually think there's a lot of positivity to him for this lineup because you look at a lot of these guys like Yohannick Pinago, Vlad Guerrero Jr., Ernie Clement, have a lot of guys hitting at 270 or higher. Additionally, with this Blue Jays team, they get to go up against a guy in Sonny Gray that is just not getting a lot of strikeouts this year. Like, he has been getting the fewest amount of strikeouts that he's gotten since 2017 as well. So I think that that's a little bit of boot doomsday here. For the Boston Red Sox, I do think that you're going to get a really low-scoring game in this one. Like, I feel like even at 8, I'd be willing to take a shot on the under with because I do believe in these two pitchers, really not believing in a lot of these offenses, and I think that the Blue Jays get things online once again. I like the Blue Jays at plus money on the money line, and I like that 8 after the under.
Here we go again with two teams kind of doing the Alex Rodriguez gif where they're just staring at each other in the mirror, and that's the Twins and the Rangers, both teams with 35 wins here. I think we keep waiting at least for Texas to start getting off on the good foot a little bit here and making a run. We'll see if they can do that. Does it start today potentially against the Wynn Twins?
I'm a believer in what the Rangers have outside of their starting pitcher. Jack Leiter has been off to a little bit of a rough start to the season, over a 4.5 ERA thus far this season, but he still does give you about 9.5 strikeouts per 9 innings. And Joe Ryan throughout his career has given up the deep ball for his career when he's been away from Minnesota between about 1.4 to 1.5 home runs per 9 innings. The ERA has been a little bit higher away from home rather than at home. And if you can get an even up start out of these two guys, the bullpens, there's just really not a lot of comparing. For the Minnesota Twins, it's hard to find anyone with a sub-4 bullpen ERA. In that bullpen, they've been a bottom 5 team in terms of bullpen ERA. For the Rangers, yeah, they might be starting to regress a little bit with that bullpen, but the Jacobs, Jacob Junis, Jacob Latz, guys like that, Tyler Alexander, they've been able to do their part. I do think that there's a little bit of positivity here for the Rangers lineup as well, because they added a few guys over the last week or so, and Corey Seager and Wyatt Langford that were on the injured list. For the Twins, Byron Buxton's been amazing, but outside of Byron Buxton, what are you going to be able to get out of the rest of those guys as well? So for the Rangers, I trust in that bullpen. I trust in really everyone outside of Jack Leiter, and I think it's going to be enough for them to be able to get the job done. At plus money here on the Rangers, I do like them on the money line.
Very good. Out West, a team that I think people need to start keeping their eye on, actually probably two teams, and we'll see kind of what happens with Baltimore moving forward. But Seattle, boy, do they get a big boost having Cal Raleigh come back from the IL. They do lose Randy Arozarena. They've been kind of the walking wounded as far as position player injuries have been concerned. However, this rotation, they're going to go to a piggyback style, and it's going to start tomorrow here, Greg. But today, They get one of their aces in Brian Wu on the mound. Shane Boz here for Baltimore. Feels like a run suppression day there at T-Mobile Park. You agree?
And I'm so glad that you're bringing up this game, because shameless plug for the Baseball Betting Show. Find that wherever you find podcasts. Pre- and post-game hosts of the Mariners, Curtis Rogers, talked about that piggyback system that we're going to be seeing for the Mariners. Every starter from now until the All-Star break will have at least one of their starts piggyback. That's going to be starting up on Friday, so you don't have to worry about that in this start. But you do have a guy on the mound that I feel like has pitched much better than the ERA would indicate. For Brian Wu, it's been a little bit of an up-and-down season for him, but he's really not giving up a lot of hard contact. He's only giving up in that neighborhood about one home run per nine innings, less than two walks per nine, about a 4.25 or so ERA. Fielding depends more around a 3.25. And I will say Shane Bott has been really improving as the season has went along. He has not given up two earned runs or fewer in four out of the last five starts. I was able to get an eight, so I'd be feeling better about an eight under rather than a 7.5 under. But even at a 7.5, I would much rather be taking the under rather than the over. But I'm also a much bigger believer in the Seattle Mariners bullpen rather than the Orioles bullpen, because for the Orioles, they've been a bottom 10 team in terms of bullpen ERA. Yennier Cano, Rico Garcia has been solid in that bullpen, but those guys that they brought in off the injury list have just been absolutely terrible for them. Recognize that the Mariners are a little bit banged up in that bullpen, but they've still been able to get good production. And you mentioned Cal Raleigh coming off the injury list. How about another guy, J.P. Crawford, over a 3.45 on base. Batting average isn't the world's greatest, but double-figure amount of homers already for the season. He's been lost in the hoopla of being able to get Cal Raleigh back. That's a big X factor for the Mariners. So I took a shot on the under and the Mariners here, right around minus 140, minus 145 on that money line.
I mean, Greg, who knew that all the Yankees had to do to get the offense going was get Aaron Judge out of the lineup? 10 runs yesterday and a win against the White Sox. And I'm kind of impressed, actually, what they've been able to do, all kidding aside, without Judge. In this kind of spurt here, is the Rays have struggled and the Yankees keep winning. What about today? Do you expect more runs, or do you think we finally get some run suppression with the Southsiders there in the boogie down known as the Bronx?
And I do truly think that the Yankees are better set up to be able to overcome an Aaron Judge injury than they have been in the past. The Cody Bellinger signing in the offseason was big. And Ben Rice, he's not quite Aaron Judge, but 18 home runs and over a 375 on base. That's still a superstar in the lineup for this bunch, and that's a big reason why I'm willing to take a shot on the money line here with the New York Yankees. So I do think that you're going to get a little bit more suppressed offense here. Recognize it for Ryan Weathers. The ERA has been more around about a 4.36. He has been giving up about 1.8 home runs per nine innings, but swing and miss up is at an all-time high, over nine strikeouts per nine innings. And you look at the Yankees bullpen. The main two guys, Camilo Duval, David Benner, have not necessarily been amazing, but Benner has been a little bit better over the last few weeks. But these guys like Ben Hedrick and company have been really good. Now, you do want to be watching for the White Sox, whether or not they utilize an opener, because they have done that for Sean Burke in the past. But he's a guy that has really cut down on the walks from a season ago, back above eight strikeouts per nine innings as well. I do think that the Yankees are going to be feeling that Judge loss a little bit more than what they've shown thus far. We're seeing that total between 9 to 9.5. Whether you've got a 9 or 9.5, I do like the under and do think that the Yankees complete the sweep here on the money line.
Greg, break up the Giants. Things that are unexplainable in baseball. A bottom of the barrel team ends up taking it to one of the best teams in baseball. I mean, it is kind of crazy how this has played out. We do get Landon Roop against Martin Perez here. It's a 7-15 series finale there at Truist Park. I got to tell you, these have been two guys you've been able to attack and over. Do we go back tonight seeing some offense resurface between both clubs?
I do think that we get some run creation. And you look at the Giants, darn near five runs per game since the beginning of the month of June. This is one of those things where you do want to be taking a little bit more of a look at recent form, because the overall season numbers for the Giants offense, not savory to say the least. But here in this month, they've been able to find a little bit of something. Willy Adames, Rafael Devers, who have been a giant waste of money for the Giants, a little bit less of a waste of money this month. So that's been great for them. But you also have a Giants bullpen that has been regressing a little bit over the last month or so as well. For the Atlanta Braves, they've got a guy, Martin Perez, who has a sub-3 ERA, has been pitching to quite a bit of contact. But I also do think that there's some positivity to him for this lineup. They get Drake Baldwin back in the lineup. Did have a home run earlier in the series. I was in that suspended game that was wrapped up on Wednesday. Matt Olson has continued to slug for the team. They're a top eight team in terms of just total run creation. And for Landon Roop, he's been much better than what the ERA would indicate. Not giving up a lot of hard contact, but he does give up a lot of walks. Over 3.7 walks for nine innings. I think that the Braves are going to be able to get to him here, salvage a final game of the series. So I've been on the Braves on the money line. Think they get a nice high scoring game to be able to wrap up the series. So I do like that 8 to the over as well.
All right, get all of your picks here, Greg, VSiN.com. Very quickly, the Royals, they did win one in a row. Do you like them to possibly get it and make it a winning streak and get two today?
Boy, it has been rough for the Royals, to say the least. But at a minus 125 or less, Noah Cameron has pitched better than the ERA would indicate. Matthew Liberatore has struggled this year. So you can get a minus 125 or better, like the Royals on the money line.
Don't give up the fight, Casey. I got a lot of tickets, and I'm about to make coasters here pretty soon if this keeps up. Greg, appreciate it as always, my friend. Give him a follow on X at GUnit_81. We're back with more U.S. Open and World Cup updates. It's VSiN by the Books.